Don't fear, I only have 3 pages of notes. I have a brief subject tonight. Yes, I'm about to dance. I want to talk about apostolic mothers. Before I get to the point of my message this evening, I want to start by honoring Lisa with a few definitions. If you've ever heard Lisa deliver a message, she always defines what she's talking about. As I considered the topic of mothers for this message, and I don't usually give a Mother's Day message on Mother's Day, I decided to see what the Hebrew and Greek words used in Scripture for mother are. I was surprised. There are only 2 words that are used. Usually there's a multitude of words with various meanings for each English word. There's one Hebrew word and one Greek word. Then I thought, Father knew what he meant, and he meant what he said when he talked about mothers. The Hebrew word that's interpreted as mother is aim. It's spelled in English E-M, but pronounced aim. It's a primitive root word, and it means mother as the bond of the family. Just like Adea and her energy asked me, what's the stem for? I said, mom holds the family together. In a wide sense, it means a dam, or it's also interpreted that one time it's used not meaning mother in Ezekiel 21:21, it's interpreted as parting, leaving. See, parting is an interesting concept in that a woman does not become a mother until she sends forth the life that is in her. She carries her child, and she is a mom. But at the moment of that parting and the new life comes into the earth, she becomes a mom. She becomes a mother. We have one picture in our house of our son, Christopher. I meditated on that picture today. None of you will know Christopher this side of heaven, but I was impressed with the light of the glory of the Lord that was on his face. He passed away when he was 9 days old. A prophet told us in 1984, not even knowing anything about it, that he's in heaven dancing in the presence of the Lord. That loosed my feet just a little bit. I figured if he can dance, so can his daddy. See, as soon as Casey gave birth to Christopher, she became a mother. And that mother's love was poured out to many around us. The Strong's definition of aim says that it is like the first Hebrew word in the concordance of Greek and Hebrew. You know what that word is? Abba, father. It says that aim, mother, is exactly like the word for father, the strength of the house. The two walk together in father's sight. Ab is a primitive word that means chief, forefather, or the principal, father. See, the strength of the kingdom comes from families where mothers and fathers are founded and yielded to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And they raise their children to follow the truth. I was fortunate to be raised in a house that worshiped every Sunday in the house of the Lord. I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have that as my foundation, because when I wandered and after Christopher's birth had to come back, that's where the Lord drew me back to. The Greek word that's interpreted in English as mother is metar, M-E-T-E-R with flat things over the E's, whatever they're called. So it's not meter, it's not a measure, although she does measure quite a bit. Moms do. It means mother, either immediate or remote. Do you know that your mom never ceases to be your mom? Your mother never ceases to be your mother, no matter where you are, no no matter where I wandered to. My dad taught me how to worship, but my mom taught me how to pray. No matter where I wandered to, I know she was praying. The most common used word for mother in the Webster's Dictionary is translated as a female parent. Rather obvious. Especially one of the human race. Not quite as obvious, but when God looked at Adam and Eve, he said it was very good. Not just good, set apart from all of the other good male and female he had made. It means a woman who has borne a child, or the female parent of a son or a daughter. I learned something looking this up in Webster's 1828 dictionary. The English word for mother can be used as a noun, an adjective. As an adjective, it's as mother tongue, like the mother tongue of a German is German. The mother tongue of an Irishman is probably Irish. It can be used as a verb, to mother a child. So moms, you're versatile. In the English language, you can cover a multitude, and in life, you have to cover a multitude. You see, it's important that we understand the definition of mother, because the enemy of the kingdom of God wants to change the definition so that he can weaken our foundation and steal, kill, and destroy those who are destined to rule in the kingdom of God. There are people in our government that are trying to redefine what motherhood is. Trying to redefine what the family is. Do you know who invented the family? God. Do you know who created mothers? God. Science has given us the ability to help women who could not conceive to conceive, but it does not change the definition of motherhood. It does not change the definition of fatherhood. I'm amazed at where we ended up in communion, where we ended up in worship, because it's all about Father's love lavished on us through a father and through a mother. A woman, no matter what her age, no matter what her age, consider Eve. Consider the wives of the patriarchs. Do you know that Noah was 500 years old when his wife gave birth to Shem? I don't know how old Noah's wife was, but we know she was at least a teenager. She may have been 500 years old. Probably not, maybe 480. Because Hebrew men liked younger women. So put out of your mind that moms can only be between X and Y chronologically, because we've known some people who gave birth in their 50s for the first time. I heard the women groan. Consider Sarah at 90 when she gave birth to the promise that led to the lineage of Christ through Isaac. She was an adoptive mother for 13 years because Hagar had Ishmael. But at 90, this woman became a mother. Consider Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was probably a teenager. Most likely because at 13, the men were bar mitzvahed, today I am a man, and the women were bat mitzvahed, today I am a woman. And she was betrothed to Joseph, which means they're as good as married, but it's not consummated. But in the Hebrew tradition, Joseph had to go and prepare a place for Mary. And when it was ready, he came back for his bride, and that's when he heard what the Holy Spirit had conceived, and he had the angelic visitations and the dreams. Jesus did the same thing for you and I. See, we are the bride of Christ. Just as the prophetic picture in the Garden of Eden of the birthing through the shedding of innocent blood, the bride of Christ was born through the birthing of the blood and the water that came out of Jesus' side on the cross. And before he went to the cross, he told his disciples, I go and prepare a place for you. That is what he is doing in time right now. He's preparing a place for all of us. In his Father's house, there are many mansions. And he will come back when the Father says, we have our act together as his bride. A woman, no matter what her age, becomes a mother when she conceives. At the point of conception, in Hebraic tradition and in Chinese tradition, that is the birth moment. In God's eyes, that is the birth moment. Don't have time to get into all of the biological science that's proven what the Bible tells us. But she doesn't begin to fulfill the apostolic call of motherhood until she gives birth to that child and sends it forth into the world. See, there's an apostolic call on every mother. The fulfillment of that call really begins with what the mother speaks over her child in the womb. Remember the story of Mary and how Jesus wept in her womb when Elizabeth greeted her cousin? What we are speaking, what moms are speaking over their children, begins their fulfillment of the journey the Lord has for them. We can either prepare that child to be sent in a covering of his glory, or unfortunately, many of us were prepared with negative, and in our current generations, abortive words spoken over the children. Mothers are the foundation of the education of every child. They either provide godly foundations, ungodly foundations, or an amoral foundation for their child to mature on. See, it's the foundation that a mother lays for her children from which she apostoloses them. She sends them. The Greek word apostolos means to send. That's why we send people. Moms send their children every day. And I don't mean go to your room. That is ascending, by the way. It's usually accompanied with some heated words. Wait till your father comes home. I remember those words. Mothers send their children to play. They send them to school. They send them to work with a mindset that she gives them for success or failure. Mom, is Jesus Lord of all? Yes. If he's Lord of all, that is what you are speaking over your household. Mothers are doing the same thing every day throughout the world. They're sending their children to change the course of history. Consider Naomi. Naomi was the mother of two sons. They both died after they were married. Ruth and Orpah were her daughters-in-law. Ruth clung to Naomi like a mom, wherever you go, I will go. And Naomi mothered her in the Hebrew tradition, and it was Naomi who sent Ruth to the field of Boaz, the second closest relative in her bloodline. It was Naomi who sent her daughter, apostolosed her daughter, to go to the threshing floor. And it was Naomi who said, lay down at his feet, cover yourself with his cloth, and he will tell you what you need to do. It was a mom who understood the destiny of her daughter that prepared the way for the lineage of Christ. Ruth was a Gentile like me, and grafted into the lineage of King David was a daughter who was sent by her mother to fulfill her destiny. I came across an interesting statistic the other day. Around the world over the past 20 years, there have been 224 million births to Christians. So when you check the little box, what religion are you? 224 million times Christian was checked. In the last 20 years, 225 million times Muslim was checked. For the first time since they've been keeping the statistic, the population growth in the world was 1 million more for Muslim than it was for Christian. The continent of Europe is being populated by Muslims through birth. So much so that statistically, unless Jesus grabs their hearts, the continent of Europe will never be Christianized again. But God, he's moving in Europe. That's a whole different topic. Consider what these mothers are sending their children to do. They're raising them in the mindset of the Muslim religion. Some of them radical Islamic religion. They are not training their children to go to school. They're training them to wear vests and get on a bus. They're training them to hate Gentiles, to hate infidels. That's anyone that's not a Muslim. See, it is important for a Christian mom to train up their child in the way they should go, so that they can move in righteousness, peace, and joy everywhere they go. Why do we send people? Because apostolic mothers constantly send their children out every day. We send you out once a week, or especially if you're going on an assignment like Katie is next week. The next two decades are going to be very tumultuous. If we thought the last 100-plus days were hectic, get ready for what is coming. Because the Lord is shifting the river of his presence. He's changing the wind of his presence. And those who are raising their children, that's you and I, to follow him will have the presence and the peace of the Lord no matter what's going on around us. But those who don't are going to have anxiety, trembling, fear at best. See, I believe it's the apostolic mothers in this house and those around the world who have been training their children to love the Lord and to walk in his way that are training up and releasing world changers. I believe that whatever the enemy throws at our children and our children's children and their children after them, because we have a great grandma here, two great grandmas here, both in the same row. whatever the enemy throws at them, because you have been faithful in each generation to speak the word of the Lord, to cover them in the word of the Lord, and to send them in the word of the Lord, they will carry greater authority than you and I have carried. They will diffuse dangerous situations with a word. They will lay hands on people and see miraculous things take place because someone, mom, was foolish enough to believe that God meant what he said when he said, train your children this way. That they will heal the sick. They will cast out demons. They will raise the dead. They will declare the gospel of the kingdom. See, I believe our children are going to promote the kingdom of God and the lordship of Jesus Christ because the moms have been raising them up to be revivists, not revivalists, not talking about some revival that's taking place in a tent, but someone, our sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters, because moms have been faithful to pray and send them, that can lay their hands on the sick and see miracles take place, that can speak and see storms diverted. Do you know that that happened in New York State 2 weeks ago? The storm that was supposed to come here, unfortunately for those in the southern tier. I know many people that told that storm not to come here. And it didn't. It changed its direction. See, that's moms who have trained their children to believe the truth that sets them free. I believe we're going to see our kids do great exploits for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Moms, thank you for laying the righteous foundation in the way we should go. I want to pray for every mom in the room. And guys, you can embrace this prayer too. All of us can, because our moms brought us to the place of where we are. Fortunately for me, my mom sent me out of the house. Some of us need to be sent. It's too easy to stay in the nest, to be comfortable. Father, I thank you that you know the destiny for every man, woman, and child before you knit us together in our mother's womb. I thank you, Lord, that you speak to the mother of each child so that she can be speaking into the baby in her womb and the baby in the crib and the baby on the bed and the baby at the breakfast table and the young child as he goes off to school. That you can be speaking to the mother so that she affirms the young daughter of how she is filled with excellence and grace because of the Spirit of the Lord. Father, I thank you for mothers who have been faithful to send their sons and daughters to be ambassadors for your glory in the schools, in the workplace, in the halls of government, and every place where they go. Father, I thank you with great expectation that this generation of young men and women who have been mothered by mothers who will send them will carry a double mantle of your presence, theirs and the ones that their mothers have laid upon them. Lord, that two-generation mantle will break generational iniquitous patterns and will liberate each of the children to fulfill your call and destiny for them in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for apostolic mothers that are willing to send their children to fulfill the call and destiny for which you created them. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Father, we send everyone in this room to the places you have called them for this week, whether it be work, whether it be play, whether it be school, whether it be divine appointments in the marketplace. Lord, we send them with the new mantle of your glory, that people will see the glory of the Lord upon them and will ask Lord, I ask for an asking anointing on every man, woman, and child in here this next week, that those around them will ask what it is about them. And Lord, I ask that you now give them your mantle of boldness and holy courage to speak of the glory of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lord, that each person in this room will have that divine encounter and someone will come closer to you this week. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all. Please stay in fellowship. There's refreshments next door. Have a very blessed week.